third chapter of Luke's Gospel, in verses 19 and 20, and there we read, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." We know that John the Baptist was given many titles. He is known in Isaiah 40 and 3 as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Malachi, in his prophecy, named him as the Lord's messenger. And his own father, Zacharias, gave him the title of the prophet of the highest. John the Evangelist said he was a witness, and the Lord Jesus Christ, among other things, said that he was the prophet Isaiah. Now, after having learned something about his life and labors, we may give John another title. And that title we would give to John is the preacher. Look at how this chapter before us begins. There in verse 3, speaking about John, it says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan preaching." And this marks the beginning of John's ministry. And John begins his ministry by preaching. Preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now when we get to the 18th verse, really John's ministry is drawing to a close. He's soon to be arrested and put in prison, and there he would be beheaded. And as John's ministry draws to a close, what is he doing? Verse 18, "And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." So we could say that John the Baptist was first and last a preacher. And when you look at that 18th verse, it has much to say about John the preacher. If you look at those words, it says, "And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." We can see from these words that John was a passionate preacher. John preached with feeling. John preached, as Richard Baxter the Puritan said, he preached as a dying man to dying, as a dying man to dying men. He preached as one as though never to preach again. That's how John the Baptist preached. How do we know that? Well, we are told that he engaged himself in exhortation. The word there means to beseech. It means to call on. It means to entreat. And we are told that John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And so you can just picture in your mind's eye this great preacher, John the Baptist, this voice crying in the wilderness, and he's preaching repentance. Not a very popular message today, but John preached it in his day. Preached the message of repentance And he did so with great passion, entreating the people, calling upon the people to repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He, of course, preached repentance, and if ever there was a man preached Christ, it was John the Baptist. And once again, he preached Christ with passion. He loved the Savior. And dear hearer this morning, that is how Christ is to be preached, with passion, ought to be preached and exalted in all sincerity of heart. And John preached Christ with great passion and feeling. John was a preacher. He was not only a passionate preacher, he was a practical preacher. Much of his preaching, as was said, was exhortation, calling his hearers to duty, exhorting them to carry out what he was telling them, exhorting them to repent, exhorting them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This exhortation again was with feeling. He didn't waste his time amusing them with matters of nice speculation. John was a practical preacher. You notice also there John had plenty to preach about. Dear believer, when you have a book like this here, you have plenty to preach about. This book can never be exhausted. This book has been preached from for centuries, for thousands of years, and we're still only scratching the surface. John had plenty to preach about, for the verse 18 says, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Many other things. So John didn't just have one string to his harp. John had many strings. John had many subjects on which to preach upon. Indeed, it could be said of John that his ministry was like the Apostle Paul, because John preached as Paul preached, for he shunned not to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. That's the preaching that is needed today. The preaching of the whole counsel of God. That was John's preaching. You notice something else that he preached in his preaching. John was a preacher through and through. You take that word preached. There are many different words in the scriptures for preach, but this particular word here means to tell the good news. What is the good news? Why, it's the gospel. That's what the gospel means, good news. John was a preacher of the gospel. He preached the need for repentance. He preached the need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached heaven and he preached hell. Did he not say to the Pharisees, ye generation of vipers, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell? That was John's preaching. Then you'll notice also here, he was the people's preacher. For it says, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. The word people there means the laity. You could say that John was like his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is said of Christ's preaching that the common people, the laity, the common people heard him gladly. John was so like Christ in his ministry, so like Christ in his labors, so like Christ in his life, so like Christ in his preaching. But now, We see that John's preaching is about to come to an end. And we read here in these verses 19 and 20, "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." In many ways, John's days of preaching were over. John the preacher is now shut up in prison. Just like Paul. Just like John Bunyan. Just like Samuel Rutherford, who was exiled to Aberdeen. Men tried to silence the voice of the preacher. And Herod tried to silence the voice of this preacher. John the Baptist, the son of Zechariah. We want to consider this morning John's imprisonment. John, of course, was not the first to be imprisoned because of his preaching. Jeremiah was imprisoned because he preached the word of the Lord. For we read in Jeremiah 38, verse 6, "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Melchiah." And poor Jeremiah was cast into that dungeon and he was up to his knees in mud. And he was abandoned there all because he preached the truth. The preaching of the apostles so incensed the authorities that they were also seized and imprisoned. And who can forget the words of the Apostle Paul? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 and 5, where we read Paul's words, "As the ministers of God, as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in imprisonments." Paul was imprisoned many times. Why? Had he murdered anyone? Had he robbed anyone? No. He was imprisoned simply because he preached the gospel. He told the truth. This imprisonment was all because Paul was faithful to the book and to the blood. And the Lord Jesus knew, of course, what the inside of a prison cell was like. We know that from Isaiah 53 and verse 8. For there we read that he was taken from prison and from judgment. And John's imprisonment was because he was faithful in preaching the gospel. Because he told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and for that he was arrested. But let us look at this arrest of John and how it came about. The first thing that we notice is his boldness. Wherever it was that John faced this King Herod, he wasted no time in preaching the gospel to Herod. And of course, the preaching of the gospel must be the denunciation of sin, must be the declaration of God's law. For the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. And John preached the law and spoke to Herod in no uncertain terms. And told him he was a sinner. You turn, please, to Mark chapter 6. Mark gives us the fullest account of the reason why John was arrested. Mark's Gospel chapter 6, verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her. For John had said, here's the reason for his arrest and imprisonment. For John had said unto Herod, King Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. And so Herod seizes John. Why? Because John told the truth about Herod and told it to him to his face. There's the boldness of John. Herod was guilty of committing the grossest of sins. We're told that not only here in Mark, but also in our reading in Luke. For there it tells us, for all the evils which Herod had done, all the evils, not just the mistakes, as some might call it today, not just the little white lies that Herod told. No. John rebuked Herod for all the evil he had done. And as he stood before him, wherever it was, here we see his condemning of King Herod. John held nothing back, but told him to his face that he had broken the law of God. He had taken another man's wife. He had done more than that. For you see, this other man's wife was his own niece. And John told him that he was a sinner and that he was a condemned man. Once again, we can see that John the Baptist's ministry would not be regarded as very acceptable today. Could you imagine John's preaching today? Could you imagine someone like John having an opportunity to speak to some dignitary or other? And telling him or her that they were condemned in the face of a holy God because they had broken God's law? Why, that would not be acceptable. And I'll tell you something more. John's preaching would not be acceptable in many pulpits today either. They would condemn John. They would say, John, you're too judgmental. Oh, John, we're not to judge anybody. They would say, John, you're not supposed to talk about a man's sin. Oh, you're not even supposed to talk about sin, let alone being a transgressor of the law of God. As I said before, the more we study this man's life, the more and more we love John the Baptist. My, how we need a John the Baptist today. And how we need preaching like the preaching that John the Baptist delivered to his hearers. If God's holy law had been broken, and it was, then John made it known, and he was bold in making it known. He was speaking to the king, and he told the king he had broken the law of God. You might say, well, John, where did you get this boldness from? How could you stand up there and address this king and address him with such boldness? Where did you get it from? Well, the answer is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 15, where the angel made it known that regarding the birth of John, he said, "He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Even as a child, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where he got his boldness from. That's where he got his fearlessness from. That's why he was able to speak so boldly to Herod and tell him about his sin and denounce his sin. It's where the apostles got their boldness from. In Acts 4 and verse 31, we are told that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and listened, spake the word of God with boldness. Filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. A man that's full of the Holy Ghost will preach God's word and preach it with boldness. Dear believer, how often do we lack or lament our lack of boldness in standing up for the Lord and witnessing for the Lord? We're in the standing in the crowd of the ungodly, and they take the Lord's name in vain. Do we stand up for the Savior? Oh, that we need. Oh, that we had this boldness that John had. And if we do not have that boldness, then we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that we might be less timid and fearful and more bold for the Savior. So John was condemning of Herod. He condemned him for his sin. Something else about John, he was a consistent. John was consistent, for he preached the same message. Preached the same message no matter where he was or to whom he was speaking. It was the same message. He condemned the old religious leaders of his day, the old Pharisees. What did he say of them? "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." He called them a generation of vipers. And now he stands before the king. There he stands in a royal palace, stands before the king as he sits upon his throne, and Herodias is sitting beside him. John sees that woman beside him. You can just imagine John standing before Herod, and he lifts his hand and he points the finger to Herod. And he says to Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." It is not lawful, Herod, for thee to have thy brother's wife. That's boldness, isn't it? That's uncompromising preaching. John was a preacher who had no respect of persons. Had John compromised his message? Had John compromised his message when he stood before Herod? John would have been a transgressor of the law of God also. For we read in James 2 and verse 9, "But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." John had a duty to his God to be faithful, no matter where he was, no matter what his audience was. And John was faithful indeed. He was like the Savior. John was like the Lord Jesus. For in Ephesians 6 verse 9 we read, knowing that your Master, the Lord Jesus, also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. You've only to look at the ministry of Christ. Didn't matter where the Lord Jesus was, he preached the same message also. Let us be as consistent in our walk and in our witness for the Lord, even as John was. No matter what company we're in, no matter where the Lord may place us, may we have a consistent witness for the Lord. I notice also that John was courageous. John was courageous in his stand against sin. King Herod was guilty of committing some of the worst sins known to depraved nature. Herod was king and had the power to do as he pleased with John the Baptist. Hence, he arrested him and bound him and put him in prison. He could do anything with this one voice, one man, simply described as a man or a voice crying in the wilderness. What was John, as far as Herod was concerned? Yet, like Paul before Felix and Paul before Agrippa, John the Baptist was faithful and fearless in his witness for his Lord and Master. And this boldness, fearlessness, did not go unnoticed by the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus spoke about John. We read in Luke chapter 7 and verse 24, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. This is the words of the Lord. The Lord said, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? When you went out to hear this man John preach, what did you expect to see? Well, the Lord answers the question for them because he knew what was in their hearts. And the Lord said to them, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Did you expect to find some kind of weak-kneed individual who would be like a reed shaken in the wind, just would go with this one and go with that one? Then the Lord went on to say, what went ye out for to see? Did you expect to see a man clothed in soft raiment? That's what they expected. The Lord Jesus, of course, was saying to them, John the Baptist is no reed shaken in the wind. John the Baptist is no man clothed in soft raiment. John's raiment was made of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his diet was locusts and wild honey. We could say John the Baptist was a man. He was a man. He was a man, and he was a man of God. He was a man who had to rough it in the deserts for most of his life. He was a man who had to wander in the wilderness, and the people went out to him. He was a real man. He wasn't effeminate. He was a man. When he stood in king's palaces, he stood there as God's man, like Elijah. That's why he's likened on to Elijah. That's why the Lord Jesus called him Elijah. Because he was fearless like Elijah. And there's Elijah standing before Ahab. And Elijah stands before him. And he's about to tell him about God's judgment upon the nation because of his sin. And Elijah says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." In other words, Elijah was saying to Ahab, "I am God's man. I stand before the Lord God of Israel." And John was God's man. A man with a holy hatred for sin and a holy love for his Lord. May we be God's man in the place where the Lord has us. May we be God's man, God's spokesman in that place. He's put us there for a reason. May we be as courageous for the Lord in this world of wickedness as John was. See of John's boldness in prison. Now that voice, that lone voice that was heard crying in the wilderness would not be heard anymore. No longer would John have the liberty to wander in the deserts and in the wilderness and go and baptize in the Jordan. John's voice had now been silenced, and in a short time would be silenced for good when he would be beheaded. And you know there's a question that may arise out of this arrest of John. The question is this: why did God allow John the Baptist to be arrested, imprisoned, and put to death? He was still a young man in his 30s. He was a great preacher, as we have seen. He was a bold preacher, a faithful preacher. He preached Christ. He preached against sin. And yet we find John now arrested and put in prison and soon to be killed. The same might be said about Stephen. His light being extinguished while he was still a young man and doing a great work for God. Same might be asked about James. Over in Acts 12, verse 1, we read that Herod killed James because he saw that it pleased the Jews, but he spared Peter. Why was James killed and Peter spared? Well, we know that God is a sovereign God. We know that he allows these things to happen, and it's all according to his own divine will and purpose. And when these things happen that we don't understand, we must rest in the providence and in the purpose of God. God has a reason for it. And he had a reason for allowing John to be arrested, imprisoned, and killed. One had to do with his labor. You see, John, the son of Zacharias, was sent to prepare the way of the Lord. That was his task. It was prophesied there in Isaiah and in Malachi. He was to go and prepare the way before the coming Messiah. That's why John was brought into the world. John, as it were, was like a morning star. In the early morning, when it's still dark, you can see the morning star shining bright. It heralds the dawn of a new day. Tells us that the sun is about to rise. And when the sun does arise, the morning star disappears. Jesus Christ is the Son of Righteousness. And the Son of Righteousness had arisen.
John's work was now done. He had prepared the way. He had told the people about one who was mightier than he who was coming. John the Baptist's work was finished. And that's why the Lord allowed John to be arrested, imprisoned, and put to death. Because his work was done. And you know, believer, we will not be taken out of this world until our work is done. Doesn't matter what the devil attempts against us. Doesn't matter what he plans against us. Doesn't matter what forces of hell rise up against us. Nothing will happen to us until our work is done. We might ask ourselves then this morning, how's that work going? What have we done for the Lord? For the day is coming when we will be taken out of this world. When we will be called to a higher service. And there's a lot of work yet to be done. As the Lord Jesus himself said, and he recognized that during his earthly stay. For he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, for the night cometh, when no man can work. John 9, verse 4. How's the work going? Not only do you have his labors, you have his legacy. What John did leave behind after his voice fell silent, why, we are still reaping the benefits of it today. For he left a great legacy. John the Baptist fulfilled and carried out what he was sent to do. We read in Luke 7, in verse 16, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that is, the reference there is to the ministry of Christ. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. What was it we considered last week? We considered the prayer of John. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. His own followers didn't understand that. They were rather annoyed that more people were following Christ than following John. But John had to instruct them and teach them, and John said, but listen, he must increase, and I must decrease. There's John's legacy. Christ did increase. More and more people followed him. More and more people were joined on to him. And why, we're told that his fame went throughout the land. Christ was increasing. John was decreasing. What did they say of Christ? They said that God has visited his people. There's John's legacy. John left something behind. Believer, what will we leave behind after we're gone? Someone has said that we ought to labor now so as to be missed when we are gone. John was missed, but oh, what a legacy he left. We've already seen that. You think of Stephen. You say, why was Stephen killed? According to God's purpose. And what happened after Stephen's death? Saul of Tarsus was saved. Perhaps through the very witness of Stephen, because Saul was there when they stoned him to death. And James? Why was James allowed to be killed? Well, in the same chapter, Acts chapter 12, we read there in verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. You see, the Lord takes home his workmen, does it at a certain time and for a reason, but he still carries on the work. When he takes us home, what will we leave behind? And finally and briefly, you have the bitterness against John. We see from our text that John had reproved Herod for taking Herodias to be his wife. And there in Mark chapter 6 and verse 18, and John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him. She had a quarrel against him. The word quarrel there means an inward grudge. She had this inward grudge. She hated John the Baptist for what he had said. And what had he said? He had simply told the truth. And she hated him because he told the truth. And this inward grudge was such that if she had half a chance then, she would have killed him. My, and many people have been killed and murdered because someone else had an inward grudge against them. A grudge that they haven't been able to control. Instead, that controlled them. And they've committed murder. Herodias eventually got her way. Such was the grudge that she had. The same resentment that was against the Lord Jesus, they had an inward grudge against Christ. They ended up putting him to death. They hated him. Believer, the Word of God warns us about holding a grudge. The Word of God warns us against this matter of hating another brother. For in 1 John, in chapter 3, and verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Is a murderer. We've committed the same sin as Herodias. She was a murderer. In fact, the word murderer here is the same word. It's only found in three places. Twice here in John, there's verse 15. And over in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44, where it is used to describe the devil, for it says that he was a murderer from the beginning. Same word. And so this hatred against our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ is not of the Lord. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding him in him. We're to love one another, even as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. So there you have the reason for John's arrest. Herod tried to silence the voice of John, but while he was still alive in the prison, John carried on his ministry. And we'll see that ministry and consider it, God willing, next week. Let us unite our hearts in prayer.